BF1 Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Grid Gossip. This is Dell, and you are here for episode 11. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Julie. What's going on?
Not much. Lucky number 11.
Yeah, lucky 11. Actually, you know, I'll tell you this. I do bet 11, black 11 on the roulette table and have hit several times. So maybe it is lucky.
There we go. Not lucky for Max with his 11-second pit stop.
Oh, good one. I like that. See? Yeah. See?
See, I can play both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I think that's all we're going to get from you on anything negative, Max, this weekend. How was the weekend outside of race day?
It was good. I was surprised to know it was a sprint race weekend. I feel like with all the driver changes last week, that was like missed in the media until I got a notification on my F1 app on Friday saying qualifying has started. So that was a pleasant surprise going into the weekend, and otherwise just relaxed. How about yourself?
It's getting a sports season for the little guys, so full gamut of soccer and baseball games on Saturday, and then just race on Sunday. So it was a quick weekend.
Always too quick.
Oh yeah, especially when you have kids. So look forward to that. Anyways, this week was a pretty exciting one. We'll get into all the action, but as Julie mentioned, it was a sprint week. This week at Monza, but last week we talked about the driver's lineup and we released the day before Russell got announced. So that's official. But Albon to Williams.
Well, we didn't really discuss how we felt about the announcement because we recorded the day before it came out, as I predicted.
True. Well, how do you feel about it?
I feel the same way I did last week.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty predictable at this point, but I think it'll be exciting to see how consistent he can be in that car next year and how he compares against Hamilton, because when he did drive in the Mercedes last year, it was against or with Bottas replacing Hamilton. So
we were talking about Albon to Williams. That did happen. So that's cool. I actually like Albon. It'll be good to see him back.
I think this will be lower pressure for him. I think he was under too much pressure on Red Bull, and this will be a little bit more his speed.
Yeah, no, I do agree. It's definitely a different type of seat, but I would like to see him be a little bit more emphatic about results. I know he got screwed by Lewis a few times, but he's just so soft-spoken on the radio, and maybe it was at the end of that last year where his confidence was just like totally gone. You could just hear it every time he talked in an interview. So hopefully he gets rid of that kind of weakness. But yeah, it's good to see him back. I do like Albon. Then we had Gasly, Yuki officially confirmed.
On the same day as Russell. So that also got a little bit buried in the news. Because that came out first. And then Russell came out afterwards. And I mean, I feel like even the F1 account only posted once for that. And then had like 8 posts for George.
Yeah. Well, George is going to be their meal ticket in the future, along with Max and some of these other guys. So it makes sense. Wasn't terribly surprised there, but Yuki seemed extremely surprised that he was retained. That was pretty funny how just honest he was about the fact that he didn't think he was getting resigned because he crashes a lot. I was like,
I think his attitude is worse than the crashing.
I agree. I can't stand him on the radio. What were they going to do? Bring in a new driver? I think part of the reason they kept Yuki, and I'm just guessing here, is they didn't want to be too much like Red Bull, who obviously has a reputation for just replacing people after one season. So I get it, but he's going to be under a lot of pressure the rest of this year and next year because he hasn't been that great. So that leaves the only real question mark at this point is Gio's seat. Will Alfa Romeo retain him? I thought there might have been some news given how poor his performance was again last week.
I thought he did better this week than most weeks.
Well, qualifying for sure. But I mean, he couldn't turn away. I think he started 7th. He couldn't turn into points. You know, it's just.
Oh, I mean, that team never does, though. So I guess, like, what expectations are they going against?
Well, I just think you got to set some new expectations. So we'll see how that plays out. But that is your driver lineup update. And I'm kind of happy that we're through it because we talked about it for so long and now it's very quickly done, and we can get focused to the rest of the season and 2022.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll get into it. I'm like lukewarm at best on this sprint weekend format.
I still like it a lot.
Maybe they just need to change the circuits in which they do sprint racing. Mm. But I mean, this was just a massive train. Outside of the start, there was not much to talk about.
Yeah.
But we'll go through that. So should we just jump into the results here?
Yep.
Okay. So qualifying, Bottas crushed that. It was Bottas, Hamilton, Max, Norris, Ricciardo, 1 through 5 in the regular qualifying on Friday, which formed your grid for the sprint race on Saturday. Hamilton has proven that he's not a big fan of these sprint races. He had a terrible start and was passed by pretty much everybody. And that race ended with Bottas, Max, Ricciardo, Norris, Hamilton, 1 through 5. So a little bit of a shakeup in the top five there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just brings more excitement and more opportunity to switch things up prior to race day. Like, you kind of get like two qualifyings, essentially.
That's a thing that I struggle with, too. Like, on TV, I was like, eh. But if I was actually at the event for the whole weekend, then I would definitely want a sprint qualifying format because you get a ton of action each day. So I do. Yeah, I'm 50-50.
I'm into it. Yes, obviously, it would be more exciting to spend like a weekend there if it was there. But I just like how it mixes things up like once more. The starting grid was Bottas, Hamilton, Max, Norris, which would have been Hamilton, Max, Norris, because Bottas had to go to the back. And then sprint kind of like mixed it up a little bit more. It like shifted them around a little bit, which allows more opportunity for things to happen and other people to start at the front of the grid. So that's why I like it.
Yeah, no, you make a valid point, too. I mean, if it wasn't for potentially the sprint, Ricciardo maybe doesn't win that race. Maybe it's Norris.
No, he wouldn't have. I don't think he would have at all.
It could have been Norris or Max. So, yeah, no, that's a great point. It's a great point. I think maybe if they just did it every week and it was just, this is what we do, I think I could be fine with it. I think it's the fact that they're like testing it a couple times. It's like, oh, it's sprint week. Okay.
I mean, it's just so few points, too. I wish they got like a little bit more or like just beyond the top three.
I agree. I would say FP2 was actually probably more entertaining than the sprint race for me, specifically because the Ferrari boys had all sorts of issues. Did you hear about this?
I heard about it, but then I also saw on Instagram that like Charles wasn't feeling well.
So you had Sainz had a pretty nasty crash in FP2, so they had to, you know, basically rebuild his car. And then Leclerc was having some sort of stomach issues. We'll leave it at that. And he had to do an unscheduled pit stop basically to take a shit.
Oh, really? I did not see that.
Yeah, he said, he's like, I've got to come in. I've got a box. And he's like, I cannot say on the radio.
Oh, I did see that. But I thought that was perhaps like something was wrong with his car that he didn't want to like mention on the radio. I didn't realize it was because he had to take a poopy. Oh, poor guy.
So getting to the race, you know, again, we started with Max on pole because of the Bottas penalty, Ricciardo on the front row with him, Norris and Hamilton right behind. Ricciardo nailed the start, just absolutely nailed it and took the lead very cleanly into the first chicane, turn 1, turn 2, and basically was leading the entire race outside of the pit stops. I was at a sports bar, so usually I'll watch at home, but this weekend I was meeting with a friend. And the way that race started, you could tell we might be in for something special because the place went bananas when Ricciardo took the lead right into the lap one or to turn one. It only took about 15 more seconds before we almost saw the first crash of the race, which could have easily been Hamilton and Max as they bumped at the second chicane. And that sent Hamilton over the curves, and he ended up losing a spot to Norris. I believe they did the same thing last year, too. But that was a pretty exciting start to the first lap. You had Sainz collide with Gio at the same spot, spinning Gio around. And that basically was his race. I believe he ended in the back of the pack. I don't remember exactly where he ended, but he didn't end in the points, that's for sure. So that was the first lap. Getting into the first stint was, for the most part, a train. You know, Ricciardo held the lead. Max was right behind him, followed by Norris. Hamilton, I think Sergio was somewhere in there with Leclerc. And the first real action started at lap 24. Max decides to pit, and I think for the first time in my three-year history of watching Red Bull, specifically when Max pits, they got it all wrong.
I think it was the front right wheel wasn't fastened all the way, which was painful. It was painful to watch. That time just like
it seemed like rise forever.
And like nothing seemingly happening, and you can just like see his face turning like a tomato out of pure rage as he sits there for every painful second, like the longest 11 seconds of his life.
I was actually surprised. I went back and watched the
I thought he was going to get stuck there.
I thought it was going to be a Bottas moment at Monaco too. I was like, holy shit.
It felt long.
Genuinely shocked that it was only 11 because it felt like a long ass time watching it real time.
I guess on the radio with Max, after he got out of his 11-second pit stop, his team was trying to talk to him. And he basically was like, do not talk to me. Like, please shut the fuck up. So that was a moment. That's when you knew he was already mad leading up to this. Like, he was already filled with rage.
So it's funny because I was at the sports bar, so you don't actually hear the radios go so loud. So I didn't know that. I assumed it. I couldn't hear him. All right. So he meets Max. He meets Hamilton at turn one. Hamilton squeezes him a little bit, but, you know, nothing terrible. And into turn two, the chicane, Max, I was very surprised he tried to make that. Like, it was very clear he was not going to make that turn. And he took it, hit the curb, car, like, got airborne and landed on top of Hamilton's car. And they were both out. We'll come back to this and discuss the whole incident, who was right, who was wrong, the penalty, et cetera, et cetera. I was genuinely surprised he didn't just take it over the curbs because there was just no way that was going to work. So that happened, created a obviously a safety car. And at that moment, you had Ricardo. Leclerc was actually in second at that point. Norris, 1-2-3 after the safety car. So pretty crazy stuff. After the safety car, these guys got going again. And I think the first piece of action was Perez getting the 5-second penalty with Leclerc for not giving the position back. And that was at the second chicane. So you had the Perez 5-second penalty, and that was pretty much it for the kind of the middle-ish stint. I did think, and I put this note in here because I actually had called this literally probably no more than half a lap prior. I told my friend, I said, don't forget about Mazepin and Schumacher in the back. They're going to mix it up. And kid you not, the next lap, Mazepin and Schumacher make contact with each other in the back of the grid, further strengthening their bond as teammates. And I think they both ended 19-20. So typical day for Haas, but I thought that was funny that they're still mixing it up back there. On lap 34, you had Ricardo, Norris, Bottas, top three. Bottas was actually in fourth position behind Perez, but Perez had the 5-second penalty. Ricardo, Norris, Bottas, 1-2-3. Leclerc ended in fourth, Perez fifth, and your boy Sainz in sixth. So not a bad day for Ferrari.
Honestly, it was so exciting. I friggin' love Monza. It's my favorite race ever now. 2 years in a row, the most excitement with like a really fun podium. I was so excited for both Ricardo and Norris. I was a little nervous they were going to let Norris pass Ricardo. There was that one point where Norris was like politely asking. It was like such like a coy way of asking too. It was very Lando.
So let me ask you this. Obviously a great race. Definitely one of my favorites. Again, Monza delivers again back-to-back years. Which one was your favorite?
Oh, that is so hard to say. I definitely got chills from both of them. I mean, I think last year with Gasly, he's just such an underdog. So that was exciting to see. And then this year, like Ricardo just like hasn't been able to get it together. And so in some ways, he's been an underdog this year. And then with Norris right next to him, I mean, it was just like such a power duo. And then with Bottas giving his like big FU, I don't know. It's hard to like compare them, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's really close for me. I'll tell you what makes this year's one even better. Mm-hmm. It's just the podium. Right. Yeah. It's just the podium. You had Stroll on the podium last year.
Okay.
I think he took third. And that's just not terribly exciting. Whereas this podium, you had, you know, Ricardo Norris and then Bottas, which again, Bottas on the podium is not unusual. However, given the situation with Mercedes, you know, it makes for a great story. This one takes the cake for me just by a smidgen.
That's true. Good just point. Just by a smidgen. Although Bottas did not do a shoey. He said he's always somehow gotten himself out of the shoey. Daniel in the interview was like, "You're dating an Australian now. You have to do a shoey." And I thought that they were going to do it right there in that interview, but it didn't happen.
He didn't have any shoes on. His shoes were gone. He did that interview in his socks. Yeah, no, I noticed during the celebration on the podium, Bottas was not positioning himself to try to get a shoey. And you know what? That was like a McLaren thing. Like, just let them celebrate. But yeah, I mean, that's got to be disgusting. Let's be honest. I think Norris spit it out. Hopefully we get to see a lot more Ricardo on podiums because he drove awesome. He did. And he's just.
He did. And there's a TikToker I follow, F1 Tony, and someone was asking her about Ricardo's performance kind of previous to this weekend. And one of the points she made, which felt very like logical to me, was that like the McLaren car is just so different that it's taking him longer to adjust to it than they were anticipating or than it would towards another, you know, team's car. So now I feel like he's like got his groove. And I think that's why we see Lando doing really well, you know, week over week, is because he's used to like the
That's definitely not the word you're looking for.
The peculiarities.
Familiarity?
How peculiar?
No. Mm-mm. I feel like you're trying to use words well outside your dictionary today. But yes, he's more familiar.
He's more familiar. Well, I think the point is that like the McLaren car has different things to it than the other cars, which was why it's taking Daniel so much longer to adjust to it. And Lando has had more time to adjust to it. So I think this will kind of propel him into feeling adjusted, feeling like he has it under control. So now I think we'll see him up there performing with Lando week over week.
And I would just say, you know, confidence is a very powerful, powerful thing. So hopefully it does propel him into the rest of the season. So I'm fully on the McLaren bandwagon now. I you know, we talked about it earlier in the one of the earlier episodes, you know, who are we rocking going into next year? I said, I was feeling like it was going to be McLaren. I wore your McLaren hat you got me as a gift for my birthday for the first time on race week. And McLaren goes 1-2. So I'm pretty much committed at this point. Small note, but Russell in the points again, P9. That's 3 out of 4
not
weeks.
Not much coverage on him now that they know he's good. Like, I feel like they didn't speak about him like once during the race, although he did climb up a little bit. But now that we all like know where he's going next year, I feel like he's like old news.
The driver's lineup could have not been set and it would have been the same coverage because McLaren 1-2. I mean, that is a story in its own right. What's it been 8 years since they've gone 1-2? I mean, but yeah, I needed a Russell break. So it was nice. And he had a pretty chill race. I don't think there was too much going on. So good to see him in the points. So let's get back to the Max Lewis thing because that's going to be all the rave. Actually, I don't think it will be. Actually, I think the McLaren story was so nice, so big.
It's nice to have some like the story be like a nice positive one as well.
Exactly. And we can all take a breather from Max and Lewis. So you had the crash, a lot of things going on here. So after the race, Max gets a 3 grid spot penalty for the Russian Grand Prix at the time that it happened. So in the bar, when it happened, me and my buddy looked at each other and said, either they both get penalties or they both don't. And I was fine with that. I was like, yeah, I think that's okay. But I said, if they're going to sting someone, it's going to be Max because he wasn't making that turn. So he should have just taken over the curbs and either if he was ahead of Lewis, give him the spot back or Lewis would have passed him and he would have caught up. I don't know why he tried to squeeze it in there, but he did. So he gets a 3 grid spot penalty. They're saying it's probably not going to matter because he's going to take his engine penalty in Russia anyway. So he'll start towards the back anyway. What'd you think? I mean, who was in the wrong?
I honestly, the only reason I thought Hamilton was in the wrong was because the announcer said that during the race.
Well, they didn't say Lewis was wrong. They said Max didn't do anything
there. Right. So, and I guess I maybe interpreted that as like Hamilton will take the blame. And so, you know, as a Team Max girl, that's all, that's where I left it. And then when I saw the notification, I was like, oh shit. Okay.
You know, it was interesting reading the comments. You had a lot of, you know, FIAs and cahoots with Mercedes and British drivers from the Max fans. You had a lot of Lewis fans or maybe just less Max fans saying, you know what, Max never gives way. He causes accidents.
What I did appreciate was that they investigated it after the race. And I wish that they did that in Silverstone. Not that it would have like, I mean, it would have changed. Well, I guess it wouldn't have changed the outcome for Silverstone specifically, but I think it just allows both the teams to like present a more like rational front, and you don't like feel the backlash during the race itself.
The only difference here was that both cars were out though.
Right. But there's other times they've like said, like, we'll investigate it afterwards.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty rare. Again, I haven't been a fan long enough to say, you know, either way. But I feel like, at least in the last 3 years, you rarely see that if someone's still driving and they're up towards the front racing for a win. But I think the important thing here was that the halo did its job. You know, I don't realize how big those tires are, the rear tires. I mean, they're massive, yeah. So the halo comes through because that, without a halo, that driver's definitely not making it through that. For me, I knew right away that, not that Max was going to get a penalty, but that Red Bull definitely thought Max made an error there when Horner gave his interview. It was very obvious compared to Silverstone, because Horner said, you know, I think it's a racing incident. It can go either way, versus that was Hamilton's fault. Hamilton did this, Hamilton did that, which was very different. That's when I was like,
well, no one got hurt this time too, so there was like less emotions in it.
Well, his guy didn't get hurt. Yeah.
I mean, Max was the, I mean, Lewis, I think he said he, you know, was like sore, or I don't think he even went to the hospital.
Well, it's funny. He didn't go to the hospital and a medical car didn't even come out to see him, which I thought was interesting.
Max stopped to see if he was okay.
Yeah, which is kind of hypocritical. I mean,
come on. Like, one, when they were doing the replays, you can see he like looked over, and at the moment he looked over, like Hamilton like flinched. So I think Max, like, he's moving. Cool. I don't think it would have been a great idea for him to be, like, sticking around. Like, I was honestly imagining a full-on brawl. So I think it was for the best.
We joked about it last week. It'd be nice if both of these guys, you know, are not at the front for one reason or another, and we see someone else win it. That's what happened. So I'm cool with it. I'm happy, you know, everyone's okay. And, you know, listen, this season, every race matters, because what's it, 5 points?
I will say one more thing. Yet again, Lewis this week did not thank Mercedes in any of the posts. Mercedes didn't even like the post. How about that? They did like it. Sorry.
So that was your race. A lot of different discussion points there. I thought this was an amazing race, not just because of the result, but there were some pretty cool storylines. And now we've got a little bit of a break before we go to Russia, which is Sochi, which is another Mercedes dominated track. And it should be interesting, because if Red Bull does take the engine penalty, potentially you could have Lewis leading the championship by, you know, a few points. So
do you want to hear something super embarrassing? At one point in time, I actually thought Max was Russian. Because I think I got confused by the flags, because they're both red, white, and blue, obviously in different ways, like the Netherlands and the Russian flag, and I couldn't place his accent.
Yikes. Yeah.
Sorry, yikes, Max. Yikes. I love you.
Bummer.
You admitted my faults.
Yeah, I know. He's definitely not Russian. Although he's got that kind of demeanor.
Yeah, like, you know? Like, he's kind of cold. Like, I could see it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Although when you compare him to like Mazepin, you're like, oh, no, he's definitely not Russian.
No, not at all.
So what's going on with off-grid gossip, lady?
Honestly, like, outside of the memes, like, not too much.
Yeah, it's these triple headers don't leave a lot of time for that.
They're just kind of recovering. The only thing that we saw on off-grid was Hamilton going to New York, which we're speculating is for the Met Gala. So we'll see. I'm sure he'll be showing up alone.
Ooh, low blow.
No, well, I just looked. The only reason I said that was because I looked at Met Gala. I looked online, Met Gala, Lewis Hamilton. He always goes alone. That's the only reason I said that. Don't take it. Don't take my Team Max. I've been very calm today about my Team Max versus Team Hamilton, Team LH. So don't rile me up.
Yeah, I could. It's actually funny speaking about like the Horner saying like, oh, the racing incident. That's kind of how I know you know it was Max's fault, because you haven't lost your cool either.
Well, I mean,
you see,
he's still winning in the end, so YOLO.
We'll see. I mean, it's going to come down at last race. So it'll be interesting. Who is the little lady that
Camilla Kendra was at Lewis's Monaco home. She previously posted stories with France location, but now she added them in a new highlight Monaco. And Lewis was in, also posted a video, and they were in the exact same spot. The rumors are that she's been traveling with him over the past few weeks. She was in Amsterdam. She definitely wasn't in Milan or wherever Monza is this weekend, but they were apparently together during the Colorado getaway, and that she's denying dating him, but she doesn't seem to hide that they're together. Her name's, again, Camilla Kendra.
Yeah, no, she's very pretty. What nationality is she? I've never heard of her before.
No, I think she's just like a model, you know? It looks like, I don't know, maybe British.
I think we'll probably get a pretty heavy dose of off-grid gossip over the next week or two, since these guys have an off week. That's when you tend to see them light it up on the gram. So looking forward to that. So where do we go from here? We have an off week.
And then Russia. We have an off week this week, and then we have Sochi, which is it basically the Olympics?
Well, that's where they had the Olympics, yeah.
You know, like the same area, I imagine.
The exact same area, yep.
Then we have a week off. Then we have Turkey, the 8th to the 10th. Another week off, then US, and then another week off, then Mexico. So we're on like kind of like an every other weekend, but the weekend after Mexico, we go straight into Brazil. We still have a to be considered, and then Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi.
This shit goes all the way to mid-December. My goodness. Yep. Yep. Well, the next few races will be key for Mercedes. They are Mercedes strongholds. And then as you get to the back end of that schedule, Red Bull tends to do pretty well. So it's going to be exciting, but I'm looking forward to a little bit of a breather. That is it for today. Episode 11. If you want to interact with us, hit us up on Instagram at GridGossipF1. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you guys next week. Maybe the following week. I might actually give Julie a week off.
Oh, here. My goodness. Which week? Let me make sure it coordinates with my social calendar. What week?
Next week. So like we won't record next week, or maybe we will.
Oh my gosh. Don't give me that hope and then take it away from me.
Oh, every Sunday, like, Julie's like,
no. I was so ready today. I was so ready. I like couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was so calm, cool, and collected about Lewis today. So I'm just proud of myself.
Yeah. Maybe you're coming back to Team LH.
No.
You know what I think it is? I think it's just we are all so excited for McLaren that.
Yeah, like I don't give a shit about anyone else.
So hopefully more shoeies and more.
Oh, then they all did the shoeie together. It was so cute.
But anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks again.
Pot's hot for now.